It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm David Greene.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. The jobs bill that President Obama sent to Congress this week includes payroll tax cuts, infrastructure spending, and more, a total cost of $447 billion. The next question is how to keep that from expanding the nation's debt. While many Republicans are skeptical the plan will work, they're even less enamored with how the president wants to pay for it, ending many tax breaks for wealthy individuals and corporations. Here's NPR's David Wellner.
To offset the cost of creating jobs for possibly millions of idle workers, President Obama is asking this of Congress: make rich people pay more taxes. Households with annual incomes of more than $250,000 would have tax deductions for mortgages and charitable contributions capped. Firms with corporate jets would get a smaller annual tax break. Hedge fund managers would have to pay income tax rather than the much lower capital gains tax. Yesterday at a Columbus, Ohio high school, President Obama presented some stark choices.
We've got to decide what our priorities are. Do you want to keep tax loopholes for oil companies?
No!
Or do you want to renovate more schools like Fort Hays so that construction workers have jobs again? Do you want to keep tax breaks for multimillionaires and billionaires? Do you want to put teachers back to work and help small businesses and cut taxes for middle-class families?
Back at the Capitol, Republicans were having none of it. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell accused the president of pushing permanent tax hikes to finance a temporary economic stimulus. McConnell saw no chance of Congress accepting the president's so-called pay-fors.
I don't think the pay-fors are going to go anywhere because we know these are not new ideas. The pay-fors have all been around the track before, and there is bipartisan opposition to every one of them.
Indeed, there are conservative Democrats, such as Nebraska Senator Ben Nelson, who, like virtually every Republican, oppose making anyone pay more taxes.
Effectively raising taxes is, in this point in time, in my opinion, is not the way to go.
But other Democrats say the president's right to lean on the wealthy to pay for his jobs bill. Dick Durbin, who's the Senate's number two Democrat, says it's Republicans who insist the bill be paid for.
I mean, if they've got other sources to pay for it, let's hear from them. But, you know, it isn't going to be a matter of cutting spending to create tax cuts for working people. At some point, some Republicans have to step up and acknowledge that one more penny in taxes on the wealthiest people in America is not punitive.
The White House says there is another way to pay for the jobs bill, and that's by letting the newly formed Super Committee on Deficit Reduction come up with a plan to offset its costs. John Kyle, who's the Senate's number two Republican, is on that committee. He cannot see that panel trying to find the pay-fors to underwrite the president's plan.
First of all, it assumes that the committee members will agree with his stimulus program. I don't think they will. But secondly, that we'll just volunteer to find a way to pay for it. He said it's paid for. Well, it's only paid for, apparently, if this joint select committee can figure out a way to pay for it. We've got a big enough problem of coming up with $1.5 trillion in savings.
At the Super Committee's very first hearing yesterday, Congressional Budget Office Director Douglas Elmendorf was the sole witness. His main message, raising taxes now is not a good idea, but neither is cutting spending.
The combination of fiscal policies likely to be most effective would be policies that cut taxes or increase spending in the near term, but over the medium and longer term, move in the opposite direction and cut spending or raise taxes.
But Elmendorf did not specify just whose taxes should eventually be raised. David Wellner, NPR News, the Capitol.